ready, little sister?
All right.
Hi everyone, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Alex. I used to run the slides on Sunday mornings. You know, I can close my eyes right now. I'm picturing myself at the front podium in the Cup of Hope. And I can see so many of your smiling faces in the audiences and your usual places. And you know, I miss that. I miss that a lot. I use the analogy a lot in life that through chapters of our lives, we are going through long, dark tunnels towards a speck of light in the distance. And you know, I honestly, I think that's true of our situation right now. And you know, there are times when I went through college, when I started my life in the real world, and I have to say that it's sometimes hard to see that light. And also that I've had times where I have talked to God and I have honestly doubted that there is anything at the end of the tunnel, that I'll be stumbling through this tunnel forever. And I'm going to share kind of what I've been dealing with these past 4 months. I have been working retail during this whole pandemic. My store never closed, and I have had to deal with some less than thrilling customers these past 4 months. I could go into a lot of details, but say for the sake of time that it has not been a fun time. And I will admit that I have not been handling it well. I kind of consider that my human interaction for the day. And I usually tend to come home, play some video games, eat some fast food, and that is pretty much my day. And I will admit I've had a lot of those doubts recently that I will get out of this situation, that I'll be stuck doing this retail job, which I hate, for the rest of my life. And I think that's kind of been the problem me recently. I mean, with just my job, I've had nothing but negative human interaction. It's no wonder that I'm impatient, that I'm angry all the time. And I will admit that I've not been doing a lot of things I should have been. I've not been tuning into the Pathway live stream. I've not been making an effort to connect with people that I knew in Pathway and church these past 4 months. And I decided that I've had nothing but negative human interaction. I need the positive human interaction that I once have. And I'm going to try and do better about that. I'm going to try and be on the Pathway live streams more. Try and connect with some of you more. And you know, the light right now, I think, in that dark tunnel, it's small. It's probably minuscule to where it's very hard to see, but we have to try and look for it. We have to keep going towards it, because as we go towards it, it's going to get bigger. And I will admit, I'm going to give you some advice, which I feel as though is the only thing that God has told me for the past few years, to the point where I'm kind of very tired of hearing it, and I bet you all are probably very tired of hearing it too, and that is the importance of patience. Unfortunately, I know we're going to get through this, but I think it's going to be a little while longer that we're going to have to deal with a lot of the stuff that's going on in the world right now. And we're going to have patience, look for positive human interaction. And it's going to be tough, but we are going to get through it. So I just want to say that I love you all. I miss you all. I'm praying for the day in which we will be able to be in a room together again. I am praying for you all every single night.
Bit of man. threatening me. How can that beach keep me where the light is?
That's the end of that set, Joel.
Ready, set. It's time.
And away we go.
Yeah. Hey, Pathway. We are in my office because everything else in the church is being worked on, either destructed or reconstructed. So here we are in my office. And
it's like, where's Waldo? We don't know where we're going to be from one week to the next. I don't know where we'll be next week.
California, why not? Anyway, so we're glad you're with us, and hope you enjoyed the music you just watched, and the greeting. Thanks, Alex, for bringing that to us. And here it is, me and Lou, like it is week after week. By the way, when we get back in person, I think it's going to be rare that I'll ever be up front alone again. We'll probably always have one, two, three people and have more of a conversation than some single talking head going on and on about nothing. So there'll be times when I will. If something burning on me, I'll get up and share it, but otherwise. So before we do this every week, we usually sit and kind of talk about what we're going to talk about, just so we can both be on the same page. So,
or at least know when we're not.
Yeah, I think I just wandered. Oh well.
No.
Oh well. Let it be, let it be.
That's exactly.
Whisper words of wisdom, yeah. So anyway, we want to talk about just for a few minutes, and most everybody who'd be watching this would get this, but I think it'd be good for us to talk about it anyway. A lot of us were brought up going to Bible school, summer camp, Sunday school, church, whatever. Or we slid into it somewhere along the line, teenage years, college years, whatever, slid into that. And a lot of American religion, not all of it, but a lot of American religion consists of conceptually describing God. And last week we talked a little bit about, you know, he's omni this and omni that, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, there's a bunch of those oms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, and you know, if you go to seminary, they will tell you that's called systematic theology. So you get all your concepts like ducks in a row. It's almost like an algebra formula.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get it all together and add it up, it equals God. And now we know God. And it dawns on me, we touched on this last week a little bit, it dawns on me that that's what Jesus encountered with Nicodemus. That Nicodemus came from a long line of these conceptual thinkers where they thought all this stuff out and they had their system carefully worked out. This is who God is. This is how he feels about you. This is what he expects from you. And if you don't do this, then there are going to be consequences. And, you know, it was all pool rules, protocol, etiquette, whatever you want to call it. And so he he's dissatisfied with that, and he sees something in Jesus that he thinks might be an alternative. So, like any good coward does, he shows up after hours, and he's like, Jesus, you seem to know things the rest of us don't know. Can you enlighten me? And Jesus basically tells him, dude, you're going down the conceptual trail. What you need is an experiential or a spiritual experience.
A relational trail.
Yeah, a relational trail. It's with the Spirit, and the Spirit moves when he wants to move. You can't move him around on a scroll like you want to move him. He moves when he wants to move. He's the initiator. He does the grunt work, and you follow. So, a couple weeks ago, it dawned on me that I don't know, I can't speak for you, but I grew up in that conceptual religion where God was an idea. And they talked about a relationship with him, but I didn't get it.
I didn't either.
I didn't understand what that meant. And it dawned on me, so why do I know that now? And I thought, to a large extent, maybe not totally, but to a large extent, it's because of recovery. It's because of having people share their stories with me and me share my story with them and take some of my fig leaves off that I put on, you know, out of shame, out of self-protection. Assuming I would be kicked out or ostracized or somebody would try to fix me or, you know, whatever. But instead I was just embraced, like, welcome to the family. Those words to me were like the words from God. I think God had already said them, but I heard them. And now you said something about Catholicism. Share that, because that's really good.
You know, I think we talked a little bit before we started recording. A lot of times, folks don't want to go to their spiritual leader. We'll leave it at that. Their spiritual leader and tell their stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to tell what they've done. They don't want to talk about, you know, they don't want to tell their story because a lot of times they're either afraid that it's going to get them kicked out or it's not encouraged in the first place.
Yes.
And because they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to have to do the hard work. The spiritual community doesn't want to have to do the hard work of loving that person anyway.
Yes.
So they don't encourage telling your story. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that the Catholic Church, in my opinion, gets right is that they do encourage that through confession. In confession, you go and you tell your garbage. You vomit out everything that you either want to get rid of or things you've done that you feel like are not what God wants for you. Sin. You vomit that out. And they encourage that. The Catholic Church encourages you to not just every once in a while or not just once, but consistently tell your story to the priest. And, you know, the Catholic Church isn't like it used to be. There's no wall between you and the priest anymore. There's not a confessional. 99% of confession now happens face-to-face.
I didn't know that.
And or it was heading that way.
Yeah.
And some of my Catholic friends, please tell me if that's not necessarily the case. I know that they still have confessionals, but they also hear confession face-to-face. And they encourage that. And I think that's where recovery gets it right, is the encouragement to bring your stuff, lay it out on the table, and realize God loves you anyway. You know, it's like, you know, bring your stuff, or like the way you put it, you know, pull off the fig leaves and stand there and tell me and show me who you really are.
Yeah.
And then, and I think as equally important is let me love you at that point.
Yes.
That is as much the key to recovery as telling your story. is when you're done telling your story, you let the person you told your story to love you back.
Yes. Yes.
And that's where I think a lot of times in that conceptual religion, they miss that. I think they miss that because they either don't want to have people who have sin or, you know, garbage in their life or whatever. They don't want people who are weak. And so that's where I think the concept side of it misses the mark completely.
Yeah.
It's like the conceptual side is knowing about God. The relational side is knowing God.
Yeah.
And knowing how God feels for you.
Yeah.
Now, am I saying that the conceptual side is not needed? No.
No, I'm not either.
No. I think it's important to know about God, this God that you're in a relationship with, because learning about God learns you if you're experiencing good teaching, you learn about how God feels about you.
And before we turn the camera on, there are questions that you wouldn't dream of talking about in conceptual religion. Like, just ask yourself the question. We're just going to let you dwell on it for a second or two. Do you like God? You think God likes you? I know we say He loves us. Do you think God likes you? If God called up and said, hey, you want to go get a Coke, coffee, whatever, what would your heart do? Would it sink? Or would it, like, oh, really? Oh, cool. So, do you like God? Would you want Him as a next-door neighbor? Would you want Him to be on your ball team? Would you want Him to work in the cubicle next to you at work? You alluded to it just a minute ago, but... How do you think God feels about you? Because none of these are conceptual questions. They're all relational questions. When you get in Pathway or any kind of real recovery, I'm fixing to tell a secret about my past to Lewis. Is he going to like me, still like me, after I tell him? That's extremely important to me. You're my friend. I don't want you to dislike me. I don't want you to unfriend me, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I let my guard down and I tell him my secret, and he not only says, you know, some people, well, I still like you. Well, that's a tolerant love. But if he says, dude, I feel honored that you would share your stuff with me, it makes me love you more. It makes me like you more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We had this discussion prior. I don't think either one of us believes that a priest or any person can forgive my sins. I kind of think God already did that. But I think a priest can speak for God. He can become the mouthpiece, kind of like the prophetic mouthpiece.
Mm-hmm.
So when I...
A priest or a pastor?
Anybody.
Yeah, yeah. A priest, a pastor.
A recovery partner?
A recovery partner? I mean...
Yeah.
That collar doesn't...
No.
Doesn't port any special...
No.
Juju.
No. But something changes in my heart toward God, not conceptually, but actually, experientially, relationally. Something changes in my heart toward God when I tell you my stuff and you love me. Not in spite of it, but because of it. It's not just my feelings toward you change. My feelings toward God change. I'm not quite sure how that magic happens. It could be that if you, and I'm not calling you evil, but Jesus used this term, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to me, like embracing and accepting, how much more?
Yeah.
You know, with my Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
So I really think that what we do, it... You could turn on the TV, or, you know, back in normal times, you could turn on the TV or come to a facility on a Sunday morning and there's thousands of people there. and you say, oh, wow, this is unbelievable. Oh, wow, I'm getting carried away with this. That's great. Do it. Get carried away with it. But the real, and some people are really getting touched, and you can tell they're getting blessed. But my experience is the real magic happens in a small room with maybe 5 or 6 people, where Billy Bob or whoever it is comes on a given day, and they drum up the courage to say, okay, this is the moment where I'm going to tell you the truth about me.
Yeah.
And then watch what that group does. And that, that switches from conceptual Christianity to actual, literal, experiential, relational. And that's where the magic happens.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah. If you haven't been in one of those groups, this is, I hadn't planned on saying this today. You try to describe this to people. If they haven't been in a group, they're like, it sounds so nice. You can't really know what that's like unless, and it doesn't have to happen in a step group.
It can
happen between close friends. It can happen all kinds of ways.
And it's not always nice.
I know.
You know, I think sometimes when we tell folks about step studies or, you know, our studies that we do, our groups, I think the misconception is that we're all sitting around holding hands, saying really nice things about each other or to each other.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not always the case.
No.
I mean, yes, it in the step studies that I've been in, it's more than even rare that we did not, at the end, tell everybody in the room that we loved them. Mm-hmm. But it was also not even rare that we didn't get a little loud. And we never, I don't remember ever getting heated, but we would get impassioned and emotional and use words that are not nice.
Four-letter words.
Mm-hmm.
Frequently.
And that are not nice.
Yeah.
But therein lies, therein lies the magic.
Well, it's like lancing a boil. It hurts like crazy, and you lance it, and getting it out is like crazy, but it feels better afterwards, and everybody tells each other they love. But the process is not always painless. It's ugly, it's stinky, but it's, and that's why it's shied away from in conceptual religion, because we want to keep everything pretty and nice and neat and tidy and predictable. And
yeah, honesty's not always nice.
Man.
Honesty's not always pretty. In fact, I want to circle back a little bit because it kind of speaks to what we're talking about. When you said, "Do you like God?" Not the concept, God.
Yeah.
For a long time, I didn't. I believed in him.
Yeah.
But I didn't like him.
Yeah.
And the reason I didn't like him was these people who were brutalizing me physically.
Yeah.
And saying these racist, hateful things to me. Would just as easily say those same things to me on their way in or out of church. And I didn't like that. I didn't like God because of it.
Yeah.
How do you let them do that?
Yeah.
How come they feel accepted around you?
Yeah.
And so, no, I didn't like him for a while.
Yeah.
And I like him a whole lot more now.
Well, but and I think maybe we can take this a step further. I think when you get into these kind of small groups, these kind of one-on-one, you don't have to call it recovery. These, when you enter into honest relationship where you tell your stuff to people,
mm-hmm.
you realize that the God that they are propagating, whatever, isn't real. But they've kind of taken the real God and put fig leaves on him. and doctored him up to where he's not recognizable anymore. And so you look at him and you think, why in the world would I want that God? You know? And if this is the kind of offspring he spawns, or as your son says, his fan club,
yep.
You know, if this is how his fan club acts, I don't want anything to do with that. And I look around today and I see a lot of people talking Christianity, and I think, I don't want to be like them. There's no way I want to be like the God they're pushing. I don't want that God. You know,
I don't recognize that God.
There you go. That's a better way to say it.
Yeah, I don't recognize what they are saying about God and what they are living about God as
yes.
God.
Yes. You couldn't have said it better.
And
yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And I really think that this is a really good time to reflect and say, so what does it really mean to have a relationship with God? What does that look like? And if it's judgmental, condescending, disrespectful, deceitful, manipulative, please tell me where we ever catch Jesus doing any of that stuff. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Please tell me when he ever made fun of somebody who was less than or disabled or whatever. Please show that to me. Anytime he ever did that, please tell me whenever he would tell you a lie to try to get you to do what he wanted you to do. It just, you know, and yet we have people who are claiming the name of Christ who are spewing hate, they're spewing condemnation, they're spewing all kind of stuff. And it's like, conceptually, maybe you could do the math. I don't know. Experientially, it's like, that's not my God. That's not the God who has touched my heart. That's not the God who speaks through my recovery partners and my, you know, it's not the same one. So.
No.
I don't know.
You know, I think that when it all comes back to relationships in the end. The relationship with God, relationship with people. Love God, love people. Be in a relationship with God. You know. It all comes back to that. And one of the things that I've seen out of the last 5 months of quarantine, separation, and not being together, and having to meet with my Pathway family through this lens.
Yeah.
Is rather than hole up and try to get away from relationships, I've seen relationships grow stronger through this time. There's a group that we tend to text back and forth as a group. And one of our folks has kind of taken on this spiritual role that keeps us grounded,
mm-hmm.
gives us something to think about every morning.
Yeah.
But she's not doing it because, oh, you need to have this so that you can get right with God. She's doing this because she's saying, look where my relationship with God has taken me.
Yeah.
Maybe a small piece of this can help you in your relationship with God. Not in your knowing more about God.
Right.
But your relationship with
right.
God.
And I think that
before the quarantine and you know, all of this social distancing, we didn't do that.
Yeah.
We didn't do that. And now, I can't see us not doing it even after we're not quarantined anymore.
I agree.
And I think that, if nothing else, the quarantine has brought us, those that will allow it to, will bring us closer together.
I ate lunch with a Pathway brother today, came straight from there to here, and we were talking about how the world was going to be different, you know, 3-4 months from now when they come out with the vaccine, whatever, the cloud list, we can get back to normal. And And there, the old saying is necessity is the mother of invention. And so we found ourselves between a rock and a hard place. Every day you wake up between a rock and a hard place. What are we going to do? And there have been some who just grumbled. I mean, you know, and that's just the way they're going to do. But I've noticed what you're talking about, this texting thread. I've noticed other people have gotten very creative. And how do we reach out? It used to be that we just normally bumped into each other. So, yeah, it's easy to be Jesus to people because I bump into them all the time. Now it's like, all right, I don't bump into them anymore. So how do I let them know that Jesus loves them? And how do I bring this relationship that I have with God into the mix of my peeps, you know? And so we're getting very inventive about how to do that. And I think some of the inventions we're coming up with are going to be long-lasting, way past the COVID.
Yeah.
And it's God did not cause the COVID, and I don't even think Satan did. I think it just happened. But Satan has been laughing his hind end off over this because he loves the division and deception and everything. When he killed Jesus, he's like, take that, God, I got you. Little did he know 3 days later, you know, oh, shoot, what did I do? I don't think he caused the COVID. But I think, like a couple months I think he's like, oh, shoot, I didn't see it going this way. You know?
Yeah.
And when the smoke lifts, he's going to be like, dadgum, those Christians are boogers. You know? Those true believers that have this love relationship with God.
They did again.
They are boogers.
Yeah.
You know? They will not play fair. They love each other. You know? They cheat.
They cheat. They love each other.
They treat each other poorly and they still love each other. They tell the truth and they still love each other. Lasted. I hate that. So, I don't know. I think it's... I don't like to talk about the devil, but every now and then it's fun to poke him with a stick. Just like, dude, you know, you got beat a long time ago.
Na-na-na boo-boo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I didn't know we'd wind up here.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I hope this has been helpful. We've got some other interesting things coming up in the next few weeks. Food for thought. Think about this. Maybe next week we'll jump on this. Think about the difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. We'll probably jump on that next week. There's a difference. One of my early recovery partners verbally slapped me upside the head one time with that. And I was like, oh, crap. And it was a lesson well learned. I think another good thing that we could talk about, I'm just giving you stuff we're going to think about so you can think about it too, is... when we're social distanced, we can't see people's faces. We can't read their body language. And so they send us a text, and we don't get the full flavor of what it means because we're left to kind of guess, and we make assumptions. If we're codependent, or if we're control freaks, or if we're a relationship addict, whatever, we're going crazy. Because we're forced, not knowing, we can't live with not knowing. So instead of living there, we make assumptions and we draw our own conclusions about stuff. And so it makes for some very long nights, stormy sets of emotions, and awkward moments when we do get back together with that person. What did you mean by that? By what? I don't even remember what it said.
Yeah.
It meant nothing. So peacekeeping, peacemaking, jumping to conclusions, making assumptions. Those are some of the things we'll talk about in the next few weeks. Be thinking about that. So, anyway, ready for the Serenity Prayer?
Sure.
Any announcements? I can't think of any.
I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
Not that I know of.
We'll say the Serenity Prayer.
All right.
Starts with God.
As it should.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. Taking as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next.
Amen. Keep coming back. God loves you.
Yeah, buddy.
We love you too.
Yes.
All right.